When I first met Mike, he was playing for Atlanta. And the girls on the team were very mean to me. They were not nice. They didn't want to talk to me because I wasn't a wife. And I was so confused because I'm like, everybody start out as a girlfriend, baby girl. Like, why are we doing this?
But I think what happens with reality TV is that in order to keep the viewers locked in, they need the chaos to happen.
Hey, baby. Hey. Question, real quick. Am I a submissive wife?
Sometimes.
Okay.
But not a lot.
Would you like me to be more submissive? No?
I don't bother.
Do you consider me to be a wife that's submissive? Do you consider me to be a wife that's argumentative when I don't like something? What's up, you guys, and welcome to Cite It with Ra Ali. I'd like to introduce my amazing friend, and I don't use that word lightly, friend. Today on the show, I have Kiafa Vick. Kiafa Vick is an entrepreneur, a television producer, a mother, and a wife to NFL legend Michael Vick. How are you, baby?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. So we're not going to be super formal with you guys. You know, this is not a Diane Sawyer situation. But this is, you know, someone who's very special to me. You know how you have those friends that you don't have to speak to them every single day on the phone. You don't have to cry a river, you know, every time something happens, highs and lows. But it's a person that you respect and you trust and you love. And I feel that way for you. And so do so many other people. You have a spirit and energy that resonates through any person that you come face to face with. And I truly love and adore you.
And I feel the same way about you. I love your crazy ass, girl.
This is why people think I'm crazy now. Because Kiafa. Not because of nothing that I've chosen to do in my life.
All right, crazy.
Okay, so we're going to jump into a couple of questions, and we're going to have a conversation that I feel is happening in a lot of rooms. A lot of women have a strong opinion about some of the topics that we're going to discuss today. And so I'm happy to be able to talk to someone who is very close in this particular industry so that we could get knee deep into it, okay? But first, I want to talk to you about what you got going on. So I want to know first, how do you balance being a wife, a mom, and a business owner?
Ooh. Well, life lately, I feel like I don't really have a husband. He has, he started a new space in life, and I have to respect it because I know he's given it his all. He recently took a job as Norfolk State head coach.
Wow.
And yes, congratulations,
big deal.
Baby.
Okay, you better get that coin, Mike.
So I just feel like my husband is gone. He's gone to the coaching world.
Right.
But, hopefully it will level out soon, and
of course
I can get my man back because I do miss him.
Of course.
But I respect his new journey, and I feel like he is putting his all into it. And I know that's what it takes to rebuild a football team.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, and there's a lot of layers to that, right?
More than I can ever imagine. It's just starting, so I know it's probably going to get worse before I get my man back.
Right. But, well, you've always, I feel like, done a great job at being that support system, you know, having your own life and own identity, but still being supportive to him in his career. So
absolutely.
I'm sure that won't change.
You know, it's funny because I always feel like I struggle with that in life. Like, I pray to God, like, God, what is my purpose in life? And I always feel like I don't have one. I'm like, I'm searching. I want to do so much. And I talked to somebody one day, and it was like, you know, your purpose in life can to be help to help your husband, to guide him, to make him a better person. Mm. I didn't really like that answer, but I feel like as my life continues to go on, I feel like I am the backbone for my husband.
Absolutely.
I do support him. Like, the family without me, it's no family. Like, it would fall apart. So,
it's something.
I accept my role.
And it's a job that doesn't have a clock out time.
Never.
So as a mother and as a wife and with so much, you're not talking about a man that's going to work and just working a 9-to-5 and that's it. And then when he leaves, that's it. It's constant, round the clock, even scrutiny, even anything. Just going out into the public is an actual process sometimes.
Absolutely, because I don't want to live that life.
And you do wonderfully. And I'm not just saying that because she's my girl. You do it gracefully.
Thank you.
For real. So I want to ask you, what challenges have you faced as a businesswoman? Because you have shit going on and we know that, okay? You just executive produced something, right? Mm-hmm. I want you to tell me about that. And some of the challenges you faced being married to a high profile athlete like Mike while just still trying to navigate business.
Well, it was funny. My first business that I started, Pink Elephant, I used to hear girls would come in the store and they'd be like, I'm not buying from her. They'd be like, she already rich. And I used to be like, dang, so y'all not going to support me because, you know, my situation, financial situation. I'm like, y'all go to Neiman Marcus and Saks and Saks ain't poor, but y'all going to support them and not support, you know, the sister. So that I used to really like struggle with that. Like, damn, how y'all feel that way?
Crabs in a barrel, you bitches. Crabs in the barrel.
No, I just feel like,
you know. That's terrible.
It was. It was just an eye-opener too that, you know. Some people just don't like some things in life, but that's all right. I got over that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like when I do a lot of business, I'm doing it with my husband now, and that is my challenge because he has an idea of something, and I have an idea, and we are both strong-minded people, so we, you know, we go at it a lot.
Uh-huh.
But ultimately, he let me get my way, and I and he appreciated later, like, baby, I'm glad we did that. So,
right. Yeah. Okay, I like that. That could be also insightful and helpful to women that are engaged in relationships. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. About how to navigate and how to balance that and what you really should do. Sometimes it's really not worth it. Sometimes sad, but sometimes not even worth the struggle. You got to choose your battles.
Oh, that's my biggest philosophy in our marriage. It's like, I got to choose my battles. You know, some things that he do, it just grinds my nerves. But I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to save that one for another day.
Yes.
I just let it slide. Like, all right.
I saw a post on Instagram one day that had me literally in tears. Like, I was in stitches. It was the holiday time, and Kiafa was making, like, making a joke, you know, that her and Mike were, you know, getting on each other's nerves. Normal marriage stuff. And that he hates the holidays. And so she was putting trees all over the house. I'm talking about big ass trees. I'm not talking about no little shit. Trees all over the house. And she was like, here's tree number 3. And I mean, I'm talking about like I was holding my stomach. Because even you mad is still hilarious. All right? It's still so funny. So I love that you take it light. And that has to be helpful. Which these things that I'm mentioning about you, these personality traits that you have, and these ways that you choose to navigate in your marriage is going to circle back when we get into this deeper part of this conversation later on about the kind of woman that you are. So I want to know this. What impact have you made yourself on changing the narrative about NFL wives and their professional pursuits? Like the mean girls, you know what I'm trying to say? When new wives and girlfriends come onto the team.
That's a long story. All right.
Well, I want to hear it.
When I first met Mike, he was playing for Atlanta. And the girls on the team were very mean to me. They were not nice. They didn't want to talk to me because I wasn't a wife. And I was so confused because I'm like, everybody start out as a girlfriend, baby girl. Like, why are we doing this? But you know, it was okay. You know, I always had my friends and I'm always secure in myself. So it didn't really bother me. But when I got to Philadelphia, the Andy Reid's wife, Tammy, she was such an amazing woman. She was so welcoming. I just saw
Who's this person? Say it again.
Andy Reid.
His wife,
Tammy.
Okay.
And
Tammy.
She was so like welcoming. And I really just like, I felt love. Like I felt like, oh, this is what a team should feel like. So I said, you know what? I want to channel this. And when I met girls, like, I took them in. We had conversations. Sometimes it's really, we live in a bubble, you know, and it's not a bubble that most people live in. So some things you want to talk to people about, you can't talk to your friends that work a 9-to-5 about, you know, what you struggling to buy or, you know, certain things. Their friends going to be looking at you like, girl, like, you talking about buying a $10,000 bag when I'm sitting up here trying to pay a $100 bill. So
you mad that you on the waiting list for the new
one. Yes, you know, so it's like, and I know that's not our biggest thing in life, but I'm just saying little things like that, you know, you can't talk to everybody about. So, you know, you need a sisterhood. And I feel like I made it easy for women on our team to come talk to me, for me to talk to them, to relate. I remember going to one team on the Jets and the girls would not speak. Like, we were at training camp, and they had to literally, like, step over me to get out. I'm like, they wouldn't even say hello.
Really?
No. And one girl, she was like, oh, a couple of weeks later, she was like, oh, you want to go to lunch? I said, oh, you speak now.
Mm.
And she left. I said, mm-mm. I said, I'm going to call you out. I said, that was some shady shit.
Right.
That you wouldn't even speak or say hello to me. I was like, what's that about? Like, we here, we all in the same world. Like,
what do you think that's about? If you had to, like, delve deep into explanations.
You know, I truthfully don't know because I don't act like that to people. Like, I say hi to everybody.
Do you think it's an insecurity? Do you think it's a status thing? Like, my husband's contract is bigger. Do you think it's a, I want to see if you last and you're here long enough. Like, what do you think it's, what's the reason for the mean girl energy?
Maybe it is an insecurity. I truthfully don't know why, you know, people are so mean to each other. Like, I struggled with that as a little girl. I used to think everybody was my friend until I started growing up and having real life, you know, experiences. But I don't know, in my soul, I just don't operate like that. Like, I like people. I'm a people person. Everybody ain't my friend, but I like people.
Right.
I just feel like people bring so much. You know, you can learn so much from people. I have met the dopest people in the world by just saying hi.
Right.
You know, just starting up a small conversation. So I channel that wherever I go in life right now. And I don't know. I don't understand mean girl energy.
Okay. Kiafa has a Secret Santa that she calls a dirty Santa. Once a year during the holidays. And I think that, you know, I feel like experiencing that type of like positive energy, genuine, because just because a bunch of women in a room together doesn't mean that the energy is going to be positive. But I feel truly that you do a remarkable job at literally handpicking good people to put together. So it's like, if I'm with you and you say, this is my girlfriend, I know that this is a solid, good person. Doesn't mean they're going to be my friend, but I know that this is, I'm at a table with someone that has good, pure energy and that, you know, I don't have to feel worried about, you know, where this conversation is going or what's going to happen next. So you do a really good job at that. So I really enjoy coming, besides losing all my good gifts, I have a really nice time. Like, I really do enjoy it.
I'm glad you did. That is like the highlight of my year, my Dirty Santa party.
Yes. I'll tell y'all a funny story. So when I came the first year, I didn't get the memo. I didn't know there was a dress code. I thought, I'm going to Kiafa's house. We are going to sit on the couch and eat and drink, and I should be casual. And then I was going to meet a friend afterwards. I arrived to her house in a camouflage hoodie and a pair of sweatpants, and women were in everything but ball gowns. I'm talking about Swarovski crystal, sharp blazer, Balmain blazers. I'm talking about gloves that went up to the sleeves. I'm talking about, I was like a deer in headlights, and I could not believe it. I wanted to disappear. And I've never felt that way. I'm like, I need to go. I need to get. I know they're looking at her like looking at me thinking, this bitch is raggedy as hell. I could not believe it. But the second year,
you came ready.
I put my clothes on. I mean, it wasn't like I wasn't dressed up, but I was dressed appropriately to go. I was like, Lord, I told my friend I brought me. I said, girl, and put on something. I said, dress like you going to dinner.
Yes.
And Kiafa be looking beautiful. She be sitting up there in some 6-inch heels.
Well, just I'm short hosting, as hell, so
looking
I gotta
beautiful.
Give you, some height.
You look so beautiful, friend. You look so cute. You do a great job. So everyone at those functions are great and positive energy, and nobody has any negative energy or bad things to say about each other. There's nobody whispering.
I don't do bad vibes.
Yeah, there's nobody whispering about nobody on the side, none of that nonsense. So that all incorporates and speaks volumes to you. Now, what I am interested in, because you, especially, I don't know Mike as well. Obviously, I don't know Mike like you. Obviously,
I just know. Bitch, the fuck?
You're a fool. I do not. And so I just know him like the people. And I can tell that he's a very laid back guy, a very reserved guy. He just wants to take care of his family, do his job, and stay out the way. So I want to know what prompted or what was a part of the conversation in you doing Baller Wives, and how did he feel about that, and what made you decide to do it?
We really got to speak about this show.
You know, just give me a little something about what your thought process was at the time, because women are literally looking up to you and they're following in.
I feel like That show, Baller Wives, was one of the biggest mistakes of my life.
Really?
I wish I would have never did it. I felt like production did not want to display Black women and what I positively had going on in my life at the time. I'm going to keep it real. Like, I'm with the shits. Like, if you come fuck with me, bitch, I ain't going to just let you slide. But that's all they wanted to focus on. Like, they just wanted drama, intentional drama. And I'm like,
I think what happens with reality TV is that in order to keep the viewers locked in, they need the chaos to happen.
You ain't doing that on my expense.
Not at your expense, no, of course, but that's what I think it's about.
Yeah, but I feel like I could have had drama within my business. I could have had
this is true.
So much other healthy drama. Like, you know, my husband had a child that he was... you know, trying to get, not custody, but they were going through conflict. Like, let's show how we can resolve family issues.
Absolutely.
In a good way. Like, let's showcase how he's transitioning from playing football to no longer playing football.
Absolutely.
You know, like, it was so many other things than showing me and my neighbors having beef. Like,
right. Well, I didn't see it. I'm being honest.
Thank you. And I don't care.
Yeah, I didn't see it. So, but I know that you are very intentional when you do things. And if something is not really, like, you're not going to really be with it. So I was just wondering, like, what was that process behind that? So I don't know. I can't speak for you and say that it was a bad decision, but everything is a learning lesson. Because I'm sure you've been asked to do probably 15 other shows after that.
And I declined.
And you passed.
Every
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
So you can't pay me. I'm not. let me take that back. Now, but no, it's gonna be real, real, real challenging to get me to do a reality show because it just didn't sit well in my soul.
Okay,
it didn't feel well.
Okay, all right. So now we're gonna jump into the topic of this conversation. All right, so we're gonna get deep tissue into this topic that I said in the beginning of the episode that is happening all around the world and has for some time now. Why so many successful Black men choose to exclusively date or marry white women? Is it truly a matter of personal preference? Are they influenced by the societal pressures and deeper ideas about their race and status? Or is it a little bit deeper than that? So I want to unpack some of these layers.
Oh, you know you got me good with this question. You know you got me good. Let's go ahead and talk about it. So a few weeks ago,
go ahead.
My family's picture was going viral on the internet for Mike signing as a new head coach. And the comments that I would read is like, oh my God, he got a Black wife. He has a Black wife. I don't see men with Black wife. And I'm like, that's not true. I'm like, I called my girlfriend, Ra. I'm like, Ra, do you see Black players with Black women? And you were like, no. And I'm like, yes, they are. It's Black players with Black girls. And he was like, no, it's not. I'm like, yes, it is. So we are going back and forth about this. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do some research.
Yep.
She was like, Key, I'm telling you, they don't marry Black women. I'm like, yes, they do. In my bubble, mm-hmm. I do have a lot of Black friends who are married to very high-profile athletes. So I'm like, this is what I see. This is what I know. So I started reaching out. I think I hit about 6 girls from 6 different teams. Like, hey, girls, can you let me know how many players on the team have Black girlfriends or Black wives? And each of them I hit, they was like, maybe 3. I'm like, 3 what? 3 that don't have Black girlfriends? They like, no, 3 that have Black girlfriends or wives. And I was like, oh. So I'm going down my list, and the number is getting smaller and smaller. And I'm just like, oh, okay, this is real. This mm-hmm. is really an issue.
And in that process of you making those phone calls to your peers, what did they say without disclosing anybody's identities, obviously? Because y'all nosy as hell.
Yes.
What were some of the reasons?
I did ask, you know, like, why do you feel like they are not with them? And they were like, these women don't know each other. They don't talk to each other, the ones that I reached out to. And they all pretty much said the same thing. And it was, like, shocking. The men didn't want to be with Black women because Black women were not submissive and that they didn't want dark-skinned kids. I was truly hurt. I was
Absolutely.
Truly, like, yeah, in my soul, I was hurt. Like, wow, is this really, like, the world that we live in right now? Because
mm-hmm.
in my bubble, I thought it was different.
Right.
But I really got, a dose of reality. Like, oh, no.
And we have some actual stats I'll run through later after we finish, you know, just kind of having the conversation, it's very disheartening. And everything with us as Black people kind of circles back, and I hate saying it, you know, to being enslaved and just feeling that we are not good enough and always feeling that brighter is righter. It's just, it's been something that we, it's been so many years of us, and it's like we can't break that cycle. I was friends, or I'm an associate of a African man that told me one time that in his country, the lighter your woman was, it was a announcement on how successful you were. So this was a real thing. So to be an African man and to be a multi-millionaire and to have a woman on your arm that wasn't super light skinned meant, are you really that successful? I mean, we have problems.
No, we do.
I mean, we have so many problems. And it's like, we could go into this conversation and this topic in so many different directions, not just about the athletes, but it's like, how the hell do we fix this damage that's been done? It would take so much. We need leadership. We need self-love. We need so much to correct this. And it's like the cycle is never going to end. We have our beautiful Black girls growing up thinking that they're not beautiful because they're not light-skinned, thinking that they're, when lo and behold, and I mean this with all due respect, the other races admire what we look like. This is why they fill their
Absolutely.
Lips. This is why they get braids. This is why they get fat transfers, you know, so that their ass to waist ratio hits. You know, like, do you not realize that this is a tactic to destroy the strength within?
So let me ask you, why do you feel like Black men don't marry Black women?
I have to admit, because when you got a valid point about something, you got a valid point. We don't listen.
Is it that we don't listen, or we want more from our men to see them do better?
We don't listen. Most of the time, Black women are alpha females for the most part. Not to say that you don't have your mild-tempered, you know, women, your more passive women, but that ain't going to last but too long. At the end of the day, it's going to come up out of her.
But do a man really want a woman he could just step all over?
They do a lot of times, especially the more successful they are. They want you to do what everyone else is doing. Which
Damn,
is
baby, I'm full. Sorry. You know you ain't got that type of chick in me.
But he lucked up, so he's straight. But I think they do. And another point, if I could jump into another point, is that a lot of times when athletes are recruited, they're going to, not into the NFL, but when they're going into these colleges, a lot of times when they don't get drafted for school, mm-hmm. but when they go to these schools to play professionally, a lot of times it is predominantly white schools. Like, for instance, a school here that we all love is American Heritage, right? What's the selection like of the schools in Florida with successful athletes where you have to pay for your kid to go to this school? How many Black women are in these schools?
Not a lot. Not a lot.
You know, so it's like you're kind of seeing what you feel is an example of beauty. In addition to that, this is a brainwashing cycle that happens from young, making you feel like Barbie is more beautiful. Barbie is the blonde hair doll, and Ken is, you know, who says that that's, where is Tanisha?
Or Ra.
Or Ra. Where's Ra Barbie?
Yeah.
You know, so that's another thing, to give them a little bit of an excuse. But I think a lot of it, like you said, through your research, has to do with our combativeness a lot of times. The fact that we're not going to tolerate nothing. We're not hearing it. We're going to speak up. We're going to say what's on our mind. My girlfriend told me that, now you tell me what you think, that a lot of times, in a lot of situations, Black women, they're not trying to ride the college wave to you to see if you get picked, right? Mm. They want their nigga already drafted, contract already signed, shit already done, deal finished. And that the white bitches will start sucking you off from your junior year.
They putting that work in early.
They putting that work in early. Like, you're going to be a star. I'm a lock in here, and this is what we doing. She said, then they call a friend to finish the job. They ain't giving you too much headache. They ain't giving you too much, you know, lip back talk. And it just, it's easier. Do you agree with any of that?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't meet my husband in college, so I don't know. I met him fresh off that train, so I don't know. You know, the white girls were sucking him off back in the day. They must have been doing good enough because he chose me.
Okay.
But I don't know because I'm still, like, in my head, it hurt because, you know, like, LeBron got a beautiful black woman. She not no high yellow girl. She just a beautiful black girl.
Absolutely.
Like, I love to see it.
And they've been together since high school. I know
them.
So, yeah.
Like, it is a lot of high-profile athletes that have beautiful black wives.
Mm-hmm.
Big names.
Mm-hmm.
Big giant names.
Let's go into some that don't.
Oh, my gosh. Don't pull your notes out.
Okay, so here's what I have. Athletes' careers often demand a level of conformity. Marrying white reflects a form of surrender to deeply entrenched systemic challenges. Y'all know I didn't write that right because I can't even pronounce. Rooted in long-standing inequalities. Examples, O.J. Simpson, former running back of the Buffalo Bills. Listen to what he said. O.J. Simpson, as a successful athlete and later a celebrity, he was widely embraced by mainstream, predominantly white American society. He seemed to prioritize transcending racial boundaries to fit into elite circles, famously stating, "I'm not black.
I'm OJ.
I am OJ." Tiger Woods, decorated golfer.
Well, Tiger Woods said he not black, so we can't claim him.
But he is.
But he said he not.
But he is. Tiger said, "I identify as Cobbler Nation," a term he coined to reflect his mixed heritage. And it's fine. You should identify all parts of you.
But how the Popo look at you?
But the black man is the black man. Regardless, you a black man.
Amen.
Okay? When they pull you over, you are a Negro.
Well, I will say this too. I feel like love is love. You know, and I'm not saying that a black man has to marry a black woman. If he falls in love with a white woman and she just clicks everything that makes him happy, who am I to say that, you know, he's not happy with her? I'm
right.
All for love. You want to marry an Asian woman. If you want to marry a, you know,
love.
I don't know, whoever you want to marry, I feel like you should be happy with who you choose.
Right.
But
when it's intentional.
When it's intentional, like, oh, I ain't never messing with no black woman. Why? Your mama black? Your sister's
right.
black?
Right.
Like, I don't, that part really just like
right.
burns my soul up.
It's a lot to take in. Black women especially feel betrayed when situations like this arise. Former NFL player Jaleel Adé played safety for the Los Angeles Chargers, and his fiance, Lindsay Nelson, made a toast to more light-skinned kids in 2019.
Wow.
People called the couple out for colorism. I mean, this is crazy. We also have an image here, a photo. I'll share this with you. We'll put it up on the screen. It says, "Not a black woman in sight." A photo of the Philadelphia Eagles wag sparked social media war on interracial relationships. 70% of the NFL was black. And look at these women.
That is crazy. That is a sight.
Hold on. What would your advice be? What are your thoughts? Of course it hurts because we are black women, but do you think it has any truth to it?
That they married a white woman?
I'm saying with regard to their explanation, besides the light skin thing, because that's just self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that they have any legitimacy in feeling that way?
No, I don't. I feel like that's fucked up. I feel like that actually shows that you're a weak person if you're marrying a woman because she's submissive to you. Like, you don't want to be challenged in life. I feel like black women, I want my husband to be better. I'm not going to just let you settle for no bullshit. I'm going to push you. I'm going to push you to you great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can't let you just settle. I can't be submissive and let you be average. You know, I want you to be your best. When you step out on that field, that's why I'm not going to complain or bitch or whine when you got to take all these phone calls all day. Because when you get out on that field, I don't want you to be like, damn, I ain't giving my all because my wife, she was mad at me. She wanted me to stay home. No, I want you to give it your all. I'm going to push you to be the best coach you could be. I'm going to push you to be the best football player that you could be. It was times where he might have had a game and I might have wanted to have an argument, but guess what? I'm going to wait. to after that game so we could argue. Because I want you to go on that field and I want you to perform at your highest level possible, not hold you back. And I don't feel like that's being submissive. I feel like that's being smart.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is okay to be submissive sometimes.
Absolutely.
It is okay to do that when you deem necessary. Obviously, not having a voice at all is just it's a little sad.
It's weak.
Another point about everything that you're saying, which is so crazy, it's kind of like, I feel like as much as a lot of successful athletes, African-American athletes, want to run away from the strength of an alpha or strong black woman, it's the same arms that they run to when shit hits the fan.
Absolutely. It's like your mama. You know, that strong black woman coming to take care of you after you did some shit your mama told you not to do. You come back and be embraced by her.
I feel like they always come home. And
comfortable place.
And I feel like we do what? We right there. Defending them, supporting them, come home. I don't know, maybe it's the alpha in me, maybe it's the confrontational in me as a black woman, maybe it's the bitch in me. I feel like we should leave them for dead. And they should see that once you turn on us and you make a choice to move on and say this is not something that you want anymore.
But then you got to take it back, what you said earlier, that enslaved mentality. Like, these men are just, it's like hurt people hurt people.
Right.
So, you know, they have a vision on what a woman should be or what she shouldn't be. And I feel like they just run with it. And I don't know. How do most of these marriages end? Did your editor give you stats on that?
I don't think we have stats on that. That would be interesting to see if it works out.
Yeah. And do they come back to black women? I would like to know that.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that, I feel like a lot of times once men end up in divorces, they say done. Like, look at Michael Strahan, and with all due respect.
Hey, Mike, that's my friend. Hey, Mike.
Who is he with right now?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know all that.
Oh,
business.
You don't know? I do. And he ain't learned.
Mike, they ain't me talking shit. That's her.
Respectfully, I have a lot of respect for him. I really do. He works very hard.
He cut us a big check. Thank you, Mike.
Who else is with somebody black and then ended up, with somebody white, it went nasty and then they got with another white person?
Oh, what about cute girl, Megan was a white girl? Huh? Yeah, Megan Good. He's not an athlete though. But...
Oh, yes. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. Absolutely. What's his name?
Jonathan, what? Yes.
Okay. What made her?
Yeah, why do you think she chose to be with him and support him?
Well, I think she was paid.
Oh, she got a coin.
I believe so. Nobody told me that. I want to be clear. This is an opinion. So this is not something that I have any type of proof. You guys feel free to, you know, insert your opinions as well. Because where did she come from? Where did this come from? In the middle of a man going through, like, this really public.
So you don't think she could, like, believe in him?
Where, from what? Like, I just called you on the phone. Like, I know a lot of...
Were they
like,
friends or anything?
I don't know. See, that I don't know. Like, I know a lot of, you know, guys that might be facing any type of charges right now, whether it's marijuana, cocaine charges. Do I just be like, you know what? This is a fucked up system. And you know what? I'm going to be there for you in court. Like, what the fuck do that got to do with me? Like, it doesn't...
Maybe he was just giving out that good D. And she was like, baby, I'm here.
And then just going to court every day, dedicated, standing by him every day. Well, I might come pop out once or twice.
How much you think she got paid?
Couple hundred thousand.
That's it. That ain't enough. She got some coins.
From where?
She in a couple of movies.
Them little movies, babe. That money is spent. This is so tacky, but I'm just keeping it real. That money is spent. And she got to keep it coming. No matter what, no matter how much of a bag you got, you need more of a
bag.
So
he was getting it like that? He was getting to the money?
I mean, he's been doing great. That last movie he did a phenomenal. He could give her 100 bands. I think so. And it didn't really hurt her. She's showing that fresh out of divorce, I got me a new man and we going to prosper through this. And she's on the, you know, she's walking out in front of the media, the paparazzi. Hey, paparazzi wasn't checking for Megan. I'm just speaking
Megan the facts. Sorry, Megan.
Megan,
sorry.
I fuck with you. Good eyebrows. Good eyebrows. Body on. I love you. I'm just speaking, you know, what I think.
Megan, you got to come talk to us and let us know why you did
that. Yeah, let us know why did you do that.
I think it was the D.
You think so? So you think they were dating and he was laying it down and she was like, I'm going to stand by my man.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the situation with her when he was getting into it with the white woman that filed the charges? Where
she wasn't
she
getting
then?
No D then. I don't know. I'm just playing. I don't know. Man, I don't know what you was doing. Again, I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
I just think that it's like, you got to bring it home. And everybody knows that when you're going through a court case, public opinion is very much a part of the jury.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So, yeah. Scott once talked about feeling a wince when she sees a successful black man married to a white woman. And I think this feeling is common around a lot of black women. They feel that way. Now, me, if I could say, I truly... Honestly, you guys know I'm going to speak my truth. I do not care.
Me either.
I don't care. I don't give a fuck. And I feel like he going to do you just like he do us, sis.
Run. Run. No, I don't really care. You know, whoever you love is who you love.
Yeah. I don't give them dirty looks, dirty snares. I'm more so am affected emotionally by the thought that it's intentionally done and that you don't like your skin. I have an associate here today that experienced something, and she's just going to jump on the mic and tell us real fast about her experience about this. This is just complete coincidence.
So my daughter's father, he was a school teacher for many years. Then he decided to pursue his career as an attorney.
An attorney. So he went from a school teacher. We know that the average pay for a school teacher.
Yeah, it's average. It's cute. It's a cute coin.
Mm-hmm.
But then he wanted more money. So he went to be this big attorney. And he went and married a white woman. Ooh. Just out of nowhere. Just married her. I'm thinking this was his friend, his homegirl, someone he met, you know, at the school he was teaching at. And lo and behold, they were lovers. And...
The whole time that y'all were married, they were lovers?
No, we were never married. He's just my daughter's father. But when he got that status, he went and married his white woman.
Did you ever ask him?
No.
I want to know.
No, I didn't ask him. I just made my own assumption. Mm-hmm. And for me, my personal opinion, this is not facts, it's my opinion. I just feel that a lot of black men, a lot of brothers seem to marry white women because most of them are very weak. And very weak-minded, and they can't handle strong black women because not all of us came from the struggle, but most of us came from the struggle. So our attitude portrays that sometimes. And it's kind of hard, like Rob was just saying, that we don't listen. Sometimes we don't listen because we dealt with that growing up with our parents or whoever. So we have this strong, I can do it by myself attitude. And most black men can't handle that. So it is what it is, but I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair because why not keep the wealth within?
I'm about to ask an athlete that's married to a wife. I need to know. Like, I really want to know right now. Like, I want to hear a man tell me this out his mouth. I marry her because she listened. Or I don't want to have dark skin. I need to hear that.
Right.
I need an athlete or a high profile, successful man to tell me why you married a white lady. I want to know. Hit up Bri, let her know.
Yeah. And we're fine, just like with our other show, we're fine with keeping you anonymous. We're not going to put you on blast or expose who you are, but just talk to us. Maybe it could be something that's helpful. But I really do think that's what it boils down to.
Oh, we have a man here, too. Let's get his opinion. I know he's not African-American.
Look at him scared. Come on now, Jay. Talk to us. We want to know what you think.
Yeah, it's just an opinion.
So yeah, when it comes into that, like if you think about it, all the battles and wars that men have to fight on a day-to-day basis with business, with this, with that, to then come home and having to continue on a battle, continue on a fight, you know, so it's not about, oh, we have a strong attitude. that's where it comes into the submissiveness. It comes into having someone there that it's not about, oh, you have to handle me. Why do I have to handle you?
But you know, is being submissive arguing or not? I could still take care of my husband and have disagreements. That doesn't mean that
they don't. Men don't really want to hear it though. What our idea of an argument or a conversation sometimes, if it's not just pleasantries, it's too much for them. It's like, I don't even want to hear, even if you're not raising your voice and you're just speaking and you're just like, no, I'm just talking. I'm just telling you, you know, I was thinking that it'd be a good idea if we did this and this is the reason. And it just kind of just wants you to be quiet. Like literally just like be quiet, like not, oh, say it nicely. They just want you to be quiet and say, okay, baby, this is a real thing. And I have so much proof to back up. No matter how you fucking say it, they just prefer for you not to. And that doesn't have anything to do with racism or colorism. Yeah. Or they just be like, bitch, be quiet. That's why they've created man caves. You know what I'm trying to say? So I guess some of them have taken, you know, further steps. Like, you know what? I'm just going to eliminate y'all altogether. But Jay's point is really strong.
It is. I'll give him that.
Like, if you are out navigating and battling through the world, I just want to come home to peace.
So, but that just think, I mean, not that he's a black man and not
well,
taking
he
anything
is.
From him.
You are a black man.
he's Venezuelan.
It don't matter. He's still black. He ain't white.
No, he's not white, but I don't think he's black.
I mean, I have a lot of comebacks to that, but for the
what do you
of the
what
podcast.
Do you identify as besides being Venezuelan? What do you identify as?
Yeah, I mean, like race, when it comes into it, it just, I do identify with that because in life, you navigate through different areas, right? So when it comes into like the term of being black, it's not just like the color of your skin, but like it's the struggles, it's the way that the systems and everything is set against you.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So like I've navigated through very similar struggles through that. So I wouldn't say like black, but I would say like hood. You know,
he had the urban experience.
Yeah.
He's
right,
had the
right,
urban
right.
experience. but yeah, I think so. And his life partner, his person speaks up. She does.
Is your
she's his
is your fiance? Is she submissive?
Oh, very, 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 very submissive. And like that's the thing. Like I was thinking about it now when you guys were talking about it. You know, even if they do have an attitude, like, you know, with Hispanics in general, they do have an attitude because they're spicy, right?
Okay, can you give me an example of submissive? What is submissive to you?
It's really understanding it's like you and your significant other against the world. You feel me? It's really having each other's like at locked arms. Like when I give you an order, when I give you a command, when I give you a suggestion, like whatever, you know, whenever you can.
Okay. You see how we respond to that? Because we're like, hold on, nigga, what? Look, we're going to go to that. As to where another race would have just listened and they would have just, okay, and responded. We are going, it's trigger words, but it's like, hold on, order.
Oh, now I feel triggered. What are you going to mean?
Okay, well, what kind of orders are you barking?
No, but I mean, so like, it comes into that, like, all right, cool. Hey, baby, you know, go ahead and do this. Go ahead and do that. That's an order. That's a command. You feel me? Like, whichever way you want to sugarcoat it.
Look at your face.
Right?
I'm listening. This is so good.
I'm listening. Okay.
You know, so it's exactly that. It's just like when it comes into men, at the end of the day, are always going to choose a path of least resistance.
That's a lie, because my husband chose the difficult path, because I am not an easy wife.
All right, but that's where it comes into. Like, your husband, I'm not familiar with, right? But, like, that's the thing. It's a sport. It's a game. You feel me? So, like, there's different games that we operate in life. So, if that's the thing that, A, you want to rock with, 100%. All right, other men choose to conquer different battles, different games, play different sports. You feel me? And that's where they get the hit from. You know, me personally, and I can definitely say with, you know, I speak with a lot of men, it just comes into that. Like, you just want someone that well, do what you say. I mean, which it's going to come it's going to come out bad, right? But you want someone that's just going to do what you say, how to do it, be there when you need to be there, and like don't cause any problems. Like,
and that's a real thing. Just even think about it, right? Even in the dynamic of the who we choose, right? No one really chooses, and this is not giving y'all no excuse for this nonsense, right? But no one chooses the hard life. No one chooses that. You're going to choose what's easier and what feels good. Like, everyone wants to have a successful, nice, easy life. Nobody wants the struggle. The struggle chooses you. You don't choose it. And so that's the same thing with the men. And I do not condone it, because I do believe that you can find that medium if you are a good man. See, it becomes also like, what the fuck type of shit you doing? For why I got to be popping my head and doing all that? It's so many layers to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it is.
It's so many layers.
So many questions I want
to
ask Jake right now.
See, yeah, I'm about to say something that took you both off, right?
Okay, let's hear it.
So even with that, like with Hispanics or like white girls, when they get mad and they start popping off, like, it's cute. Because, like, they ain't going to do shit about it, you know? Like, they just, like, blowing
what
up a whole bunch.
What are
they
going
to do? Oh, man, like, now we get, because they, black girls will literally fuck you up.
No, I don't put my hand on a man. Mm-mm.
You know?
I am dying. I do not want this
so
to
now,
be funny.
So now it's just like, oh, man, like, now you got to tread a whole lot carefully, you know? Because, like, you're going to get
your
bopped.
Ass.
You he know? Said you might get bopped. That is, but the funny, you have a point. But the funny thing is that, believe it or not, Latina women, Hispanic women, when they finally have enough, you are possibly will be killed. And yeah. They're going to kill themselves too. Like,
but
they
white
gonna,
women kill women?
Yeah, they
kill snap. Yes.
Because there's so much fire in them and they love so hard. So it's like, we're going to die. Like,
we're all going to die.
We're all going to die.
I ain't killing nobody. Listen, go on about your business.
So if that's the truth with anyone that you choose, now you got to choose the kind of death you want to choose.
Right. Do you want to be shot with a machine gun?
Yeah, or like a little poison. You know what I mean? Hispanics, you know, they put a little spices in your, you know, your drink and your food. You're good.
That's hilarious.
I got a lot of questions to ask my husband.
I know, right? I want to see what he says. I feel like Mike knows you well enough to just, I feel like Mike is going to avoid, like, getting into deep conversations that's going to lead to him having a headache. Like, nah. You're right. Whatever you say, yeah. That's good. That's good. You and Rob was talking about that at the pod. That's good. I'm glad y'all was talking about that.
Our relationship is like, we definitely bump heads a lot. We argue, but we are quick to forgive each other. I feel like that's so important in moving forward in your relationship. Like, can't be walking around with an attitude forever all day.
Right.
You gotta let it go. Like, all right, yeah, I cussed you out. You cussed me out. All right, let's get over this and move forward. Like,
right.
That's a big part of our relationship.
Right, absolutely.
You know, that's how we forgive.
And you guys have a lot of history.
Absolutely.
I mean, so much history. So it's also so different. When you got somebody that's like your rib, it's just different. Like, he knows that you got his back. He doesn't even know anybody else. Not like, once again, I don't know this man. He don't know nobody else that got his back like you. It don't matter what complexion the person is. Like, he knows you gonna ride.
I hope he knows that. You
of
know what I mean?
Of course he does.
I hope he knows that we play for the same team.
Absolutely.
I speak in sports terms in the house.
Absolutely. He knows that. And that's something that, you know, he's not gonna meet somebody, and no matter what they look like, that can be replaced. Ooh. That is just what it is. You could be as annoying as you wanna be. And that's just what it is. You got too much history, too much foundation. You've been through too much, and you've been right there holding it together. So,
if you asking so yourself, how can I get a high value man? Like, girl, I don't know. Just
it ain't for you.
It ain't
you.
For
ain't
you.
A high value woman.
I was never searching for a guy with money. Like, I went to school. I had dreams of having a job and working. I never had aspirations. Like, oh, let me go find an athlete. No, I'm sorry, I wasn't. That girl.
Yeah, like a specifically a gold digger.
Yeah, I had a goal digging. That's
absolutely.
What I wanted to be successful on my own.
Right.
Like, I knew God had plans for me in life. I just thought that I was going to be doing it for myself.
I was not that. I'm not going to lie. I absolutely always knew that I wanted to make sure that the man that I was with was a provider and a protector, and it ain't had nothing to do with my coin. So I'm just keeping it real, because I got to be honest. Like, Kiafa's telling her truth, I'm telling my truth.
I also met my husband when I was 21. I was in college.
And me too. And shortly after meeting my husband, I left my job.
Well, I left mine too.
But I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Why did you leave your job?
Because I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted
and he allowed that for
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. I knew that I didn't want to have a job that I'm just kind of like working for someone and just collecting a check and just like being a regular, you know,
and you are average such citizen. An amazing entrepreneur right now.
Yes.
I'm so proud of you
Thank
and all
you.
Your business endeavors that you have going on. No, I really am. Like,
Thank
I'm not
you.
Just saying that. Like, it makes me happy to see you doing so well in life.
Thank you.
And
that means a lot
family,
to me.
Beautiful family, your beautiful girls, and your husband. It's amazing.
Thank you. It I means so much to me. I visioned
the next
us.
Oprah Winfrey here.
Ah! Oprah Sinfrey. Okay. I knew what I wanted, and I've always been that way. I've always been that way. I never procrastinate. And sometimes people are like, you are nuts. Because even with living in Miami, I came here, and I was here for the weekend, and I was like, I want to live here. This is where I want to be. I'm going to stay. And my husband was like, babe, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, bring your ass home. I'm like, no, you know, COVID has hit. You know, there's a lot of germs in New York. I just really feel safer here. He's like, babe, like, yo. I'm like, do you think you could catch a flight out here and we could look for a place to live? He's like, what? I'm like, do you think you can or you can't? If you can't, it's cool. You can stay where you at. He was on a plane.
I know that's right. Because he was like, my wife about to leave me down here. You ain't leaving me.
And he was like, what an attitude now. Don't think he can't smiling. He can't like, this is fucking ridiculous.
Does he love it as much as you do?
He
now?
Does. He loves it. He's still good. A diehard New Yorker. He's still a loves the trenches, you know, still loves his neighborhood, his community, his family is all still there. So he's very much a New York person. And I'm very much evolved from having any connection to that anymore. It's a part of, you know, where I was born and where I grew up, but I'm not interested, you know what I mean, at all. I don't want to be shivering. I don't want to wear a bubble coat. Yes. I don't want no Uggs on. I don't want to warm up the car before I pull off. I don't want to smell no garbage. I don't want no mice and rats running over my feet. I'm good on all of it, okay? I've been there. I did. I'm from the Bronx. I can say whatever I want to say about my goddamn state, all right? So, you know, so that's how we relocated. It was just like that. And I found a place, and I'm like, let's just start looking. He's just like a deer in headlights. Like, are you kidding me? It was no sit down, have a conversation, come back home, talk about it, make the decision together, come back. It was like, this is what I want to do.
And it's happening.
And we've been here for 2 years and he's happy. So my point is, as a Black woman, I know what's best for you.
That part. We know. See, we
I know what's
best
for you,
men.
Baby. And I don't, he, you know, also, like I was saying about the entrepreneurship, I think that people's biggest mistakes, in my opinion, is second guessing themselves. I really truly believe that. Now, I don't think that everybody should just be picking up and moving places just because they like it. But if you ever notice, you'll have an idea and it'll resonate inside of you. And you'll think about it. And as the days progress, it slowly leaks. And you've lost the passion that you had about it because now you're dealing with your day-to-day, whatever new obstacles are in front of you, whatever new challenges, and now you let a dream slip through your fingers. So you have to act while you feel what you're feeling in order to be able to capitalize. So all of the people that I know that procrastinate on their dreams or a great idea, then they watch other people produce what they thought about because they just didn't do it. So as crazy as it seems that I do the things that I do, it's because I know that it's now or never, literally.
Yeah, absolutely. But look for your dreams and got you.
Yeah. We got a long way to go. We got to keep on keeping on, honey. We got to build this family legacy. And I just want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart and soul. I absolutely love talking to you. I love spending time with you. This is my friend, y'all. I go to breakfast with her. I go to dinner with her.
And don't eat. I took her to breakfast yesterday. She didn't even eat. Not one thing.
That doesn't happen often, y'all. Okay? Now, name another time that happened.
She was real cheap, though. I appreciate that. Thank you. Cheap date.
It was a cheap date, right?
Cheap date.
I had a cup of ice with me. just ghetto. So thank you for being here, and I would love to have you back. Maybe we could do like a ladies' night edition. We can invite some girlfriends on.
No, we bringing some men because we're gonna talk about this.
We could do it in layers. That's what I mean. We could do a ladies' night edition. I could bring two of my friends that have a story to tell. You could bring two of your friends, and we could, of course, Jador's going to be on the eats.
And I'm about to call my husband too and ask him my submissive.
You're not.
Let me call him. You think he?
Okay, go ahead. Let's see what he says.
Jay, what's some questions I should ask him? Three questions I should ask him right now to prove that black women ain't submissive.
To prove that you ain't submissive.
Hey, so I just want you to just answer the questions honestly. Don't overthink them. Don't worry about like who's listening. Don't worry about any of that. Okay, just answer the questions. Do you consider me to be a wife that's submissive?
No.
Do you consider me to be a wife that's argumentative when I don't like something?
Yes.
Do you think that when I know that you're facing the challenges of your businesses, of the world, of just chaos, that I'm considerate of those things and I choose to be quiet?
That's two questions in one. Could you say that one more time?
Okay. When you're navigating like your responsibilities, like your mm-hmm. your businesses, things that you have on your plate that might be stressful, do you feel like I'm considerate of that by not being argumentative?
No.
From a scale to one, on a scale from 1 to 10, how much more would you appreciate if I was to just kind of be quiet sometime and be submissive?
I don't think I would. I don't want you to be quiet and be submissive because I'd be needing your input. More understanding is probably what I would need, because to be, and then the way of delivery, you know what I'm saying? Like more, you know, I need to understand. I don't want you to be quiet because then I might run into a wall. I would never want you to be quiet. I just think just a little bit more, you know.
When you say run into a wall, what do you mean by that?
Like some decision, I might make a wrong decision, right? So mm-hmm. So I wouldn't want you to be quiet just to make me feel good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just wish sometimes your delivery is just not, it's just a little bit aggressive. You know what I mean? It's not really, like, you know, it's not like you really like your babe. Let me talk to you. This is what I think you should do. It's more like, this is what you should do. You know what I'm saying?
Like telling you in like the delivery.
Yeah, like telling me what to do.
Okay. So my last question for you is, and again, there is no right or wrong answer. I really truly want the honest truth. And you know, I wouldn't call you like this if I didn't. If you could have a woman that was more passive, more easygoing, right? Versus an alpha, which one would you prefer for me to be?
I prefer for you to be in between. You know what I'm saying? I would prefer in between. I don't want somebody who's like really quiet. I need somebody like who knows when to turn it off and when it's necessary. Mm-hmm. That's what I think that you lack. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think that any of that has to do? Do you think any of that has to do with the fact that I'm a black woman?
I think it has to do with your upbringing. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it has to do with you being necessarily a black woman, but I just think it's embedded in black. I think you see more of it in black females because of, you know, the struggles they deal with. You know what I'm saying? Like we talked about it. It's not like the black man is really, you know, out here just in abundance doing the right thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, they deal with a lot. So they got to be, you know, a lot of them are single moms. They got to wear the pants in the family. They got to be aggressive. So, you know, when they find a man, some of them, they just really, you know, sometimes even a good man, they don't know how to really, you know, turn it off because they've been doing this shit for so long now.
Okay. Well, thank you, husband, so very much for that. I really genuinely appreciate your input. Okay.
No problem.
All right.
Am I gonna pay for this or? It's a lot of questions.
Hold on. What you said? This week. And I promise you that there'll be no backlash from your answers.
I will hope not. Honest. Like, why would they be worried about my bag's gonna be packed?
No. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, baby.
Bye.
I gotta do better. I gotta do better. Baby, I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't know what can change.
I don't either.
I need to go talk to somebody. Maybe I need to talk to a white woman.
Now, what I will admit to is that everything that my husband just said, if I could be honest.
I hope so.
If I could be honest, I really don't know.
It's us. It's like it's embedded. It's in our DNA.
If I could just be honest, like I'm like, ooh.
But you can be conscious of it now.
We're in trouble now. Okay. I'm like, not like that, but I'm just saying that, like, I don't do anything thinking that it's the wrong thing to do. Wait, Jay is dying.
Kimmy came to me the last night. The last time we were here, and she's like, "Yo,
hold on. He called me.
Wait, don't forget what you're gonna say." Answer it.
Let me hold on. I missed it.
Look closer to the mic. Oh, you missed it?
I missed it. Let's see if he answered now. Hey, baby.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, I did.
Question, real quick. Am I a submissive wife?
Sometimes.
Okay.
But not a lot.
Would you like me to be more submissive?
No.
No? Do you feel like I do it out of love? Do you feel like I'm doing it to be mean to you?
It's out of love, though.
Because I want to see.
It's not out of spite. It's not out of spite.
Okay.
It's out of love. Hold up. Submissive meaning like, you mean like, yo.
Anything else I should ask?
Sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. It's like a balance, 50-50.
Would you like me to be more or less submissive?
Yeah, a lot more.
Why would you want me to be more submissive?
No, I don't want that. I don't want you to be more submissive. I like the backbone. I like you know what I'm saying? Okay. I like what you stand on business.
So if you could go back 20 years and find somebody that was less submissive, more submissive, do you think you would have been with them versus me?
No.
Okay. All right. So you like a strong woman. You like a strong woman.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right. I know you're busy, coach. Thank you.
Nah, we good.
That's okay. No, I just had those questions. That was it. All right, bye.
You see that, y'all? He didn't know he was on an interview. You see that good man? That was so
cute. Now, when
cute.
I go home later, he's going to be like, man, shut the hell up. I know. Out of your mouth, girl.
You shut your ass up.
No,
didn't you call me like... earlier? This is gonna be dead. He gonna be like, "Did you call me earlier? Ask me if I would prefer for you to be quiet sometime. Let's practice."
That's so. One thing I always say in relationships, like when you first meet somebody, you love the things that later on in life you
get on
freaking
your nerves.
Hate because he'd be like, "Yo, mouth." I used to love that shit. Now he be like, I ain't trying to hear that shit.
Right, be quiet. Just want you to be quiet. Let me tell you something my husband does that gets on my nerves. When he gets tired, he goes into a convulsions of yarning, like back-to-back yarns. Thank y'all for being with us, and we will see you on the next Key Talks with Ra. Bye, y'all.
I'm going to have my shoes on next show.